Oi, oi, it's your boy, the Brigham Young of getting his bell rung, Jack Slack. It's the Jack Slack Boycast, and we're coming at you ahead of UFC 291, Return to Salt Lake City. Additionally, we got Crawford versus Spence this weekend, and we also got Bellator versus Rising, but not actually more like Bellator and Rising on the same card. Yeah, this UFC event's a weird one. It's kind of, they wanted to go to Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City wanted them. None of the champions wanted to fight in Salt Lake City for very obvious reasons. If you watched the last Salt Lake City card, every single person on it gassed, with maybe the exception of Kamaru Usman. I mean, Leon Edwards gassed out harder than I've ever seen in like round one, and then, you know, came back, scored the head kick, but then they fought at sea level and he just dominated Usman because he wasn't gassed. And then they fought at sea level where Edwards didn't gas almost immediately, and he pitched a shutout. But yes, that card was full of things like Martin Tabura versus Romanov, just, you know, hands on the knees, bending over, breathing through your mouth. Awful. So yes, none of the champions wanted to fight on this card, so they booked a really good main event between Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje, who are two guys who just do it for fun. They're not in the title contention. Well, I mean, they sort of are, but they're sort of not. They could beat some of the guys who are coming up, and it happens often enough that people are like, none of these lightweights can actually hold a candle to Dustin and Justin, but Dustin and Justin are busy doing money fights with people like fucking Michael Chandler. Dustin and Justin got me busting. But if you remember from the interim title shit, which is becoming more and more frequent nowadays, they need a title fight on all these pay-per-views. So what they did was they dusted off the old BMF, dust off the old skillet. They got the BMF belt out, a silver belt to you know, hammer home the fact that it's a second best place belt, with BMF written in Arial font across it. Just shite, really. Still, at least you're getting a you know, you're getting more of a BMF matchup than you were with Jorge Masvidal versus Nate Diaz, who, one, wasn't that great to begin with, two, was a lightweight fighting at welterweight, and three, was kind of washed as far as, like, even his best, he was beyond it. So that was very silly. But this one, these guys are really good, and they both beat top lightweights consistently, and they're both, they've got a history. If you haven't checked out the article, I wrote a tactical guide to this one. I'm going to, yeah, I'll skim over some of the stuff I did in the article in this podcast, but if you like your real in-the-weeds shit, that's where you want to go. You want to go read that, and you don't even have to read it. You can just click the play button, and I'll read it to you. You could sit on my lap and turn the pages, and I'll read it. So the first fight was basically dominated by the fact that Justin Gaethje was trying to knock Dustin Poirier out with inside thigh kicks, which don't work that well. You know, we're seeing lots of guys have more success with inside thigh kicks more recently. Weili Zhang, Israel Adesanya, Alexander Volkanovski, Leon Edwards all use it, but they don't knock people out with it. Justin Gaethje was only throwing this kick like it was going to make Dustin Poirier's leg fall off. And he had a history of TKOing people with leg kicks, but that was outside low kicks because he was fighting orthodox fighters, and outside low kicks buckle your knee in. It's not so much about the attritive damage to the thigh, which, yeah, you can stop a fight that way, and that will slow people down over the course of a fight, but the ones that are the really bad ones that you see fuck up a fight almost instantly are the ones that buckle the leg, just because someone's weight isn't properly set. And the rest of Gaethje's offense was trying to swing left hooks and right hooks as Poirier got towards the fence, which wasn't working very well because he was getting jabbed up, and Poirier was using his footwork to circle well. Probably the most floaty you've seen Poirier footwork wise doesn't tend to circle the ring much. He tends to be more in front of his opponent, inviting blows to counter. If you haven't read Advanced Striking 2.0, Dustin Poirier, I made that unlocked available for everyone this week. That'll tell you all about how he got so good at, well, how he basically changed his whole career by playing with the shoulder roll. And yeah, it isn't as pretty as like Floyd Mayweather's shoulder roll or whatever. He does a very high lead elbow, so it's all focused on his head, and his body's quite exposed when he does it. But by doing it, he was able to stand in front of people more confidently. And when you do that, you can start using your eyes better, you start getting attuned to the opponent's punches, and you can learn to box better than if you were doing what he did at the start of his career, which is running in and out with punches. So the jab and the movement were important. I think the real interesting part of this one is that Gaethje's eyes were not good in the first fight. You know,